to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome back. June is flying through already. Summer's just going really fast. I love it.
Okay, we're going to be in one of those montages of
like
media that all say the same thing about, where is the summer gone?
Yes. Or,
I can't believe it's October.
Already?
I can't believe it's this.
Well, it's not July yet, but we're going to talk summer and all sorts of fun stuff. We do have a really good guest, Dawn Fujiwara Pavlik is here with us today.
Hello.
Did she say it right?
She did. She did say it well.
It's fun to say.
I know, I paused a little bit.
It's like, not the Fujiwara that gets people. It's the Pavlik.
It is.
Spelling, same. Fujiwara, spelled right every time. Pavlik, nope.
Right. Okay. And that, yeah. Okay. But I did it. Okay. And Dawn's going to talk like all things seaside and tell us a little bit about herself.
It's a seaside show.
It is a seaside show. We love seaside. But we're like North Coast and South Coast of Washington, too.
We love all of Clatsop County.
Exactly.
Well, seaside is for fun.
There we go.
Okay, but speaking of fun,
we
do have this weekend, old-fashioned fun and games on the grounds of the Bull House.
Yes, my favorite.
It is my favorite. I go back and forth between Talking Tombstones and fun and games, but it's free. It's on the grounds. The grounds come to life. It's families having fun together.
You can buy lunch for a dollar.
Corn dogs and pretzels.
Dollar.
Root beer floats.
Yes.
We really have the treats just for the volunteers that are working.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's really
the kids
the
love
reason.
It, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every kid gets a prize if they just hang around long enough. There's rope making.
I'm feeling Dawn has not been there before.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
And it's truly old-fashioned fun and games. So, like
potato sack races,
churning ice cream at one point,
ice cream making, butter
badminton.
Making.
Badminton.
Where is this?
On the grounds of the Flavel House, and it's this weekend. It's the 27th to 28th from 11 to 4 each day. You just get a little card, you check through things, and if you try like 10 things, you get a prize.
It's fun. There's potato sack races, pie eating contest.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend or the 27th?
Coming up this weekend, the 27th and 28th.
Yes.
Perfect.
And it's free.
Yeah, I was going to say yes.
Because of Columbia Memorial Hospital. Thank you.
Yes.
They've sponsored it for a number of years in a row here because it's outdoor, it's healthy, it's families doing things together.
It should be great. Yeah.
And what's always amazing to me is, you know, my first museum that I worked in was a large living history site in the Midwest, 17 acres. Our biggest event was the Old County Fair that we put on. And I stole some of these things from
Perfect.
That. 17 acres, staff and volunteers of like 100 on the weekend that we did this. And people would be there for an hour. Flavel House grounds, a lot less offered than that museum, and people loiter for 2 and 3 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Because they want to try the next thing. They miss the egg and spoon race, and they got to wait for that.
So they do miss the next one.
They miss the ice cream making, so they got to wait for that. It's truly amazing. I've always enjoyed this event.
And it's wacky games too. Just kids are just kind of blown away that these were the games that kids used to play.
That they were entertaining.
Right. And then they love them.
And then
too.
They are entertaining.
Yeah.
Stilts, walking on stilts.
I know.
So. All right. But we got a good show. So we should get right to the history highlights. These are things that happen tomorrow. And I'll comment on your efforts next week.
Okay.
So these are things that happen tomorrow, June 22nd, 1611. Henry Hudson, one of my favorites, is set adrift by mutineers after spending a winter trapped by ice in modern-day Hudson's Bay. The starving crew of the Discovery mutinies and sets him, his teenage son, and 7 supporters adrift in a small open boat.
Mm.
I would love to know what happened because yes, Hudson's Bay large, but you got to think they came aground somewhere.
Right.
All right. 1807. The British board the USS Chesapeake, a provocation leading to the War of 1812.
You can't just
come on our ships and grab people.
Right.
And put them to work. All right. 1911. The world's largest pipe organ debuts at its new home at the Grand Court of Wanamaker's Department Store in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Originally built for the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair, it filled the 13 railroad freight cars when it was moved.
Wow.
So the reason I put this in, my dad talked his way into playing this thing once.
The real really? Thing.
Yeah, at Wanamaker's in Philadelphia.
And it's a department store.
Yeah, it's a big giant department store. But he's like, hey, I play the organ. And somehow he made friends with the organist and they let him in. And
oh, my goodness.
He's like playing this organ.
Okay, wow. That's really cool.
So, yeah. My dad had a knack for doing things like that. All right. I was going to quiz you, but now you already know it's after 1911. What day, what year on this day was the first Dairy Queen opens in Joliet, Illinois?
Oh, Juliet. That's where my mom was born, by the way.
Did she go to the Dairy Queen? What year did she go?
I don't know. Well, she wasn't alive till 1946, but I'm going to say it's going to be 1928. Any guesses?
1933.
You're closer, 1940.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have had a clue for Dairy Queen.
Right, okay.
All right, 1942. This one's local history here. 1942, on this day, June 22nd, the Japanese submarine I-25 surfaces at the mouth of the Columbia River and fires 17 shells at Fort Stevens, causing no real damage.
Thank goodness.
And again, the commander at Fort Stevens didn't fire back, and they brought him up on charges. And his argument was, we weren't within range. They were shooting blind.
Right.
The coast was dark, and if we started shooting, they would have known where we were.
Right.
So I think he made the right call.
Didn't give anything away.
Exactly. 1944, FDR signs the GI Bill.
That's good. Yes.
Education.
Yes, huge.
And properly paid, all that good stuff. 1953, Cyndi Lauper is born.
Oh, I love her.
Cyndi Lauper.
Girls just want to have fun.
And of course, I include that one because
of
she
Goonies.
Does sing
yeah,
Goonies.
Of so. Course.
All right. But our history highlight today, I think had the most impact on history. 1941. Germany launches Operation Barbarossa, the invasion of Russia.
Oh, okay.
See, they make a deal. They're like, oh, we're going to be friends. We'll divide Poland in half and everything's going to be great. And Stalin is completely caught off guard when Hitler and the Nazis invade. So even though World War II is already happening, pushing Russia pretty much onto our side.
Right.
Huge impact. So that's my history highlight of the day.
Okay. Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
No. I didn't do my homework today.
You didn't.
I didn't. The last 2 weeks, though, I had to do it. So, but we'll talk about that.
We will.
Another time.
Another time.
Today, we're going to talk about Dawn Fujiwara Pavlik here from Seaside. She got off work at 1 and walked on, or didn't walk, drive on, drove on over.
Well, you're thinking of the Goonies,
yeah,
right?
I am. Yeah,
just
exactly.
Hop on a bike.
That's
and
true.
Ride.
Yeah.
They're here in like, what, 2 minutes?
2 minutes. But first of all, let's talk about where you grew up. Where are you from?
I am from Southern California, Garden Grove. Shout out to the Double G. I went to high school, Rancho Alamitos High School. Graduated in, this is definitely going to give away my age, but graduated in 1985, so the same year that the Goonies came out.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
How fun. And so growing up in Southern California, was that going to be your home forever? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I was born and raised Southern California, and as you grow older, loved where I lived. Everything is peachy keen until you get to an age where it's time for you to buy a house, and your parents' house was $35,000. Mm-hmm. And now you would like to buy a house and it's, $735,000. So move a little bit farther out of the area. But did stay there till I was, I've been here about 9 years.
Okay.
So, lived in California pretty much my whole life and really loved it. Really loved it.
And you are a business owner. So let's talk about your businesses and then what sort of led you in that direction. But you own Crafted and Seaside, Seaside Slushies and Dogs, and then BAM Promotional Products.
Yes. So BAM Promotional Products came first. We're celebrating our 29th year in business this year.
Amazing.
We do all of our own in-house screen printing, embroidery. We offer promo products. We have wonderful customers, again, that we've had for a really long time. We build relationships and we help businesses promote their brand, events, minor league baseball, casinos, sports teams, high schools, nonprofits. So every day is kind of a new adventure in promo products because every day is a different project and everybody has a different need. So did that for 29 years, still doing it. I have a great staff in California. that still runs that. My son was in the Marine Corps, and when he left the Marine Corps, didn't know what he wanted to do, worked with me for a little while and decided he wanted to travel. Well, friends of ours from Murrieta had a radio station in Seaside, and they invited him to come up and sell radio ads. And he loved the coast. Radio, it's a tough gig to sell radio yes. ads, especially we're so digital now. And, but he did it for a good amount of time, and then he got into some construction, but decided he loved Seaside. He did not want to go back to California. My other son, my oldest son, is in Cleveland. So I thought, am I going to go to Cleveland or am I going to go to Seaside? So, we decided on Seaside, and I would commute. Half the month in California, half the month here for the first about 6 to 8 months that I was here. And then COVID hit a couple years after that. And my husband was a GM for a car dealership in California for a long time. He was in the car business about 25 years. Well, when COVID hit, when we moved up here, he decided to work at a local car dealership because he could, you know, it was very easy for him to transition. Well, then that didn't really pan out because the market is so different here and there. So he went to go work for Worldmark, and because it was sales, and thought he was going to get into real estate. And like I said, COVID hit. So then he wasn't working at all. And we thought, well, what are we going to do? Just, well, can't go to restaurants, but you can walk up and take to go. So sat down one afternoon, created a logo, created a menu. Both of us come from a restaurant background, and Seaside Slushies and Dogs was created. We opened up our walk-up window with help from our friends from the bridge tender in Seaside. Katie and Leroy and Derek and Sam helped us open up a spot right next to the bar, and we could take food in and out of the bar that people bought there. And then we had a walk-up window. It was to go. So for the first couple of years, it was amazing because it's all to go. There was no COVID restrictions for us. People were coming to the coast because they could drive there. They weren't flying. You couldn't fly. So it was wonderful. And we got that going. And then the store next to me, it was a good friend, and I supplied his store with wearables. He decided he had been there 10 years and it was time for him to do something else. So I took over that space, and Crafted in Seaside was started in 2022. I opened up Valentine 2022. It was originally going to be one concept, and that didn't work out. And so I had 48 hours. The landlord gave me 48 hours to come up with a new concept, or he was going to have to rent it to somebody else. So I sat down and thought about it and knew I knew wearables. I can make sweatshirts. I can sell that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of those stores already in Seaside. What else can I do with the rest of the square footage? So I thought about it, and I thought, you know, there are so many locals that have products, have nowhere to sell it. We have a lot of farmers markets, that kind of need. And so I opened up the rest of the space to local artists and makers. So our store features handmade products made by locals. So we have grown from that space that we were in was about 700 square feet. We are now closer to the turnaround, a couple doors up from Terhars, and we are in 1700 square feet. Been there about a year and a half. We have over 30 local artists and makers that call that space home. We cherish every single one of them. They all bring something so amazing to our tourists and the people that come to visit Seaside that are looking for something different than they can find in other shops. So I'm really proud about that. We do sell a lot of Goonies, and our signature item is a peachy. Do you guys know what a peachy folder?
Were you
born here on the West Coast? Did you go to school the West Coast?
Because peaches.
Peaches. You had that or you had nothing. It's a folder for all of you out there who don't know what a peachy is. And they were popular from the 40s all the way up through the early 90s. Yeah. So we make a peachy sweatshirt and a peachy t-shirt that, and some other peachy, you know, nostalgia pieces. And people come in for that, and then they see all the rest of the products that we have as well. So yeah, that's what I'm doing in Seaside.
So if an artist has some product, an idea, or some artwork, how do they connect with you? And do you vet them? Do you just take it regardless, or do you, well, we already have three artists that do similar things. You know, what's the process there?
We definitely try to make sure that an artist shines in their space, and we try not to cross promote same mediums. So I would say, well, we're a consignment store. I'll start there. So the artist has to be comfortable with selling something maybe a little bit less than what they would sell it somewhere else, but have the opportunity to sell more of it. So that seems to be the first conversation that we have. And then we make sure, like I said, that it's not something that we're already featuring in our store. And then we sit down and have a conversation about how often they can stock their product, because sometimes people say, well, it takes me 6 months to make this. And that's awesome. Yeah. However, when you are in a retail location and you've got, you know, 200 people that come in through your doors, you can't sell what you don't have. And so that's another conversation. Are you going to be able to keep up with the demand? That's a good problem to have. I will tell you, I've got some people that are like, I don't know if I can crochet that fast. Well, get on it, sister.
Yeah.
And our crochet artist literally just restocked today. So we try to make sure that everybody can come in within every couple weeks, but we don't like to carry exact products. Now, we do have a girl that does charcuterie boards, Lazy Susans, and then we might have somebody else that does boards, but they're in a completely different style. We have a couple different watercolor artists, but they are completely different styles, and the way they present their products are a little bit different. But for the most part, we try to find products that are very, very unique.
Where did this business mindset come from? Like, as a child, were you the one that was always selling something different?
Yes. My father never had a traditional job. He was an entrepreneur. I still have the set of stainless steel pots that he sold to my mom. They went to school, Venice High School, that's where they met, which was where Grease was filmed, fun fact. And then he sold Kirby vacuum cleaners, and then he started his own company, Total Copy Products, and he sold and repaired, I think it was Canon brand copy machines. And that's what he did. And then he sold real estate, and I never knew him to have a traditional 9-to-5 job. And so it was always, that's just how I saw work. You know, that's what I saw, the 9-to-5, and just decided. The other thing is, I'm a rule modifier. I did try to work.
I'm going to remember that one.
A rule modifier. I tried to work some traditional 9-to-5 jobs, and I just have a problem with rules. it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just who I am. And so when you get to make the rules yourself and change them when you want and take time off when you need to and go see your kids play sports because that's what's important to you, then you find a way to make it work. And that's just what I've done.
I love that. I'm a rule modifier. Also, you like to be your own boss.
I do. I that's the other thing. It's not that I don't think I could follow direction from somebody else. It's just not sure the pace that it would work at.
Yeah.
So backing up a bit, your son comes up here and is working, selling radio ads. Mm-hmm. Had you been up here before?
No.
So talk about the first time you visited and what you liked and what made you decide you could live here.
Growing up in Southern California, Garden Grove is real close to Huntington Beach. Huntington Beach back in the day was the best experience of my entire life. That Huntington Beach is no longer where we are. Okay. It's completely different. Seaside to me reminds me of Huntington Beach in the 80s. And from what I can see, the infrastructure and where Seaside is, it's going to be like that for a really long time. It's not going to get commercialized. It just can't. That, like I said, I can see that. So for me, my husband calls it Back to the Future. It's just, that's what I love. We came here and we just fell in love. I'm from the ocean growing up, and that's just not achievable for me in California, but this is magic. I love Seaside. I love all of the Oregon coast. Clatsop County is amazing. I think I'm truly blessed and really lucky to have found Seaside.
And aside from these three businesses, yeah, you also are an avid volunteer and involved in lots of organizations.
Yep. Rotary is near and dear to my heart. I've been a Rotarian. I was a Rotarian in California, and I'm a Rotarian here. I've been in Rotary 20 years plus. Service above self is something that I strive to achieve in my personal life and my business life every single day. I feel as though the world is a crappy place sometimes. You take a look on TV, wherever you look, there's negativity. When I go to a Rotary meeting, I reset. I realize that there is so much good in the world and one person can make a difference. So it's very, very important to me to make sure that I instill that in myself, my family, my kids. It's just, in order for us to be a functional society, we all have to play together nice in the sandbox.
I love that. Dawn just created an event that the Seaside Club of Rotary just put on, which was the Clubless
Classic. This the
Clubless Golf Tournament.
Broadway Invitational Clubless Classic.
So no clubs. Mm-hmm. There were golf balls, but people still had to get the ball in the hole.
Yes. So different businesses up and down Broadway created their own hole. So players would go in and, like you said, no club, couldn't use a club. We used a mannequin arm in our yes, store. Some of them, Hillcrest Inn, she used, it was disc golf. So there was different, different locations created their own
someone
experience.
Used a hockey club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hockey club. You played pool at the bridge tender. It was really a good time. Shuffleboard at end of trail. So it was a really good time and raising a lot of money for really good causes. We gave away, I'm going to say it wrong, I think it was like $80,000 in scholarships to seniors and other students this year. And that money doesn't grow on trees, as it turns out. So we have to raise it. And that's a fun way to raise it.
That was a brand new event. So that'll be fun.
And we will do it again. Yes. We had such a great time. Thank you very much for volunteering. You volunteered as
nothing.
Well.
It was she did everything. I stood there.
It was really it was a great event and it was very well received by the community.
It was. And it was a great I liked it because it was a good rain or shine event.
Yep.
It was sunny. but you went from business to business. Mm-hmm. And in Seaside it's very easy to do that without getting wet, really, if it had been raining. So and then of course since it was nice out, I mean that just is
plus. It was
a bonus,
plus,
right?
Bonus.
So what are the things that you do in your downtime? Do you have downtime? Do you know what downtime is, Dawn?
I wish I could say I have downtime. When I first moved here, before I opened up Craft Inn and Seaside and Seaside Slushies and Dogs, and I was going back and forth to work from here to California, I had a lot of downtime. So I press flowers and I turn them into art creations. So I was doing that. My dogs passed away in September, but prior to that, we would go to the beach every single day. That was just, the beach is my happy place. So I try to go to the beach at least two or three times a week, even if it's just to go pick up sand dollars, which I sell in my store. I partner them together with a little magnet and, watercolor paints for kids as a kit to get. So I feel like I'm, working in downtime. It's all tied together still. But yeah, the beach is my happy place. I try to go to the beach when I can.
So backing up, just because loyal listeners know I'm a geek when it comes to baseball. You mentioned BAM doing things for minor league.
Oh,
so
yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
So one of my very first clients was, and is still a great client of mine, Lake Elsinore Storm. They're the minor affiliate for the San Diego Padres. So I've done some work with the Padres as well. They used to be affiliated with the Angels, who are my team. Go Angels. I say that sad and happy at the same time. So we do a lot of the turn through the turnstile gifts. So we'll get a sponsor, a local sponsor or a corporate sponsor. Coca-Cola has been a great sponsor. Event that's coming up is Star Wars Day, even though it's past May the 4th, but we printed for the local blood bank. San Diego Blood Bank was the sponsor and their lightsaber. So the first 2,000 people through the turnstiles get a lightsaber. We've done coins.
And are you helping to come up with the whole promotion, or are they coming to you saying, hey, we want t-shirts with this on it?
A little bit of both. Okay. So I ask them, we kind of brainstorm, and I ask them, who are you targeting as a sponsor? If they say, well, you know, we're going to go look at so-and-so dentistry. Great. Well, I mean, toothbrushes is a gimme, but what else can we do? Let's do a candy promotion, because more candy means more cavities, means more trips to the dentist. You try to get as creative as you can when you come up with the promos, but it's kind of a group effort.
What have been some of your other fun sort of businesses or organizations that you've done?
PPG, one of my very first orders. So our tagline is your logo on anything. And we challenge people to find something that they could put their logo on as a marketing piece. And this is probably early days. So, you know, 28, 27 years ago, PPG, they are a manufacturer of windshield glasses and some other products. And they came to me and they were doing... And they're, I don't know, can I use bad words?
No.
So one of their taglines was, we don't take any poop, but okay. And so we did toilet paper rolls with their logo stamped on the toilet paper.
Goodness.
And it was, I found a supplier that did that and challenge was accepted. That was a fun one.
I love it. Mm-hmm. What a unique idea.
Yeah.
For toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so that business I love because it's not just local, but of course I'm sure you have local clients as well, but it is based in California, you said.
Correct.
And then you get your supplies from wherever you need to.
Correct. So promotional products are produced at local factories or factories all over the United States, and they're drop shipped. So I could be sitting on the beach with a Mai Tai and I could be putting an order together for a client and everybody's happy.
Oh, that's so fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want that job too.
Yeah. It's that part of it's good when you're on it. The downside is I always have my computer. That's ask my husband, not happy, a camper, because I work all the time, but at least I can go work remotely. We can go to Chicago, you know, avid Bears fans. So we go see his family in Illinois and I take my computer and I got to work a few hours in the day to answer emails and set up proofs or do artwork or whatever. And then the rest of the time I can enjoy. So it's awesome to be able to work remotely that way.
So what's next for you? What's your next big idea that it's going to come?
This is me semi-retired and I am failing miserably. So I really need to get back to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. We're merging the two companies, Crafted and Seaside and BAM Promotional. So we're trying to put them all under one. They're two separate corporations in two different states, but I'm really trying to put them together here and maybe create another type of interactive. I'd love to have a storefront where we physically printed t-shirts on. We print them on site at Crafted and Seaside, but I'd love to have it in an area where we could do it. We do craft and sip nights and we have artists come in and do stuff, but we'd love to do something in store where we could do craft, you know, create your own souvenir, make it yourself type of situation.
And then 30 seconds or less, your most favorite activity or event that's coming to Seaside this summer?
Well, we have the Corgi Weekend next, coming up this weekend on the 27th. I know you've got your event as well, but 500 to 600 little Corgis running around on the beach. We partner with them and they do races. That's a super fun event. I really like that. And then we'll be doing all the merch for the volleyball tournament this year. So yeah, the Seaside volleyball tournament.
And that's so much fun.
Yeah,
beach
volleyball.
So many locals and people from out of town.
Yep, that's going to be huge for us this year.
Lots of new things coming with the volleyball tournament. Well, great. Well, Dawn, thank you for joining us. This was Dawn Fujiwara Pavlik, who joined us. She owns Crafted and Seaside Slushies and Dogs, and BAM Promo Products.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
We appreciate all that you bring to Seaside and to our community. Thanks so much.
All right. Go make some history. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
You're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming live on the web at kmun.org.